So we're supposed to click when you say go, right? That's what I've been doing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've learned that Dre is a 3-2-1 something, not 3-2-1.
I hate people who are just the, like, 1-2-3. You're like, no.
Yeah. So something
there
that comes after.
Thing.
1-2-3 is the prep.
You've robbed me of 1 second of preparedness.
It's the countdown.
Is it the final countdown?
People don't count down like the fucking space shuttle. It's like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's fucking 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. The blast off matters.
Can you imagine they just count down 3, 2, 1. Why didn't you fucking go?
Previously on Bad Heroes.
The essence of Melos? Robbed. Ramsay, the purest friend I have deceived. For love? I would do anything. Iria, breaker of oaths. I have broken more than I ever made.
Wait a minute. Were you trying to scam me with that library promise?
You never said you were a Greyfrost. It never came up. And I am sorry. Please don't turn me into an icicle.
You have access to the secrets of the capital, to the queen herself. Gideon, if she wants to underestimate you, if she thinks you are a pawn, let her. When we are ready, she will be sorry.
In the underground theater, there is a lot of speculation about why these rulers didn't live very long. Maybe this line is so horrible and cruel that they're all trying to kill each other, which is why none of them make it once they take the throne. We need to wrap this little pet project up as soon as possible.
You do not seem to be feeling well to cast diagnose disease.
You don't find any disease you know of.
Is the crown killing her? Is the crown killing her, and is this how all of her predecessors have died?
Saphira straightens up in her throne to stare at you. And as her focus hones in on you, you have the unnerving feeling that maybe you are not the only one privy to your thoughts. And you know you could get lost in those yellow eyes if you are not careful. I owe you a question, but don't speak. Do not speak. Just think of your question.
To what end do you hunt these curses?
You hear Saphira exhale, and then she says, to build an army. So, we ended last time with Saphira answering your question. And Coolness, you let me know that Tanrir would have left immediately. Hastily and silently collected his things, called Rulthuin to him, and left the castle. And no one would have stopped you. I want to time skip to then. To you all standing outside the castle, or even right outside the castle grounds, past that massive iron gate carved with sigils. You were told that in addition to paying for your housing and your stay in Vire, Saphira has also arranged for you each to receive 10,000 gold pieces for a job well done. But for some of you, that may not be top of mind. Where did you all decide to check in outside the castle?
A coffee shop?
Everybody was following out and saw Tanrir. He would beckon them on and work toward Dany's house.
Everybody go to Dany's place?
Yeah.
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 All right.
As soon as we get there, Gideon is just, no words. She's just, as soon as she gets there, she's going to strip down and walk into the hot spring.
Very good. Very good.
Priorities.
You arrive at this little cottage that is super familiar and normally feels very warm, but it has this emptiness without Dany there. And just arriving at her house, where the front door is open, it looks like she hasn't actually been there for several days.
How are the chickens?
They seem good.
Okay.
Yep, chickens are waddling around pecking. You get the impression that someone's taking care of that. And Gideon gets naked and jumps in the bath. Do you all assemble around Gideon?
I mean, honestly, even for Tanrir, that might be a bit tempting, given that he's aching a bit.
Wait, to get in the bath?
Yeah. I mean,
it's like a big hot spring kind of thing, right?
Okay. Yeah. All right, okay.
It's not like a tub.
Fan art. Fan artists, I need you to get on this immediately. Thank you very much.
It's not that cramped ass tub that Danny gave me the first time. Tonra would not fit in there with me.
Not without really trying. Briva, you've never seen this happen before. You guys walk up to Danny's house and Gideon just instantly gets naked. And does Tonra also?
Yeah, he's working on that. But while he's doing so, he still seems distracted, like, even though he's... Well, I mean, it's not like he has much to remove. He just shrugs
just
off the cloak
pants.
And pants and waddles into... He would waddle into the fucking tub. Why would he
so
waddle? With his increased wisdom, he's channeling Penguin, apparently.
I was going to say, here's what you don't know about Tonra. In times of extreme stress, he becomes a penguin.
Waddle.
Reva turns to Iron and is like, this is like an elf thing, right?
It's certainly not a cat thing, I can tell you that.
You know what? Would Ira even get in because wet fur would probably not be a thing that would be
not
tolerable?
Not
no, Ira's not going to get in.
Yeah.
But Ira bathes, right?
Oh, yeah. For, like, practical purposes, because...
But it's not enjoyable to sit in water.
It's not relaxing.
There's us in the tub, and then Ira off to the side, like... licking and like pawing at the head and you know, bathing that way.
Cat bath.
Yeah, cat bath.
Reva, what do you do?
Reva finds like a flat rock near the hot spring and just sits down on it.
All right. Lays out like a lizard.
This is an elf thing, isn't it?
So Tonmir steps into the tub and the expression on his face is one of deep thought and possibly even deeper concern. And he settles into the tub and looks at Gideon first.
Gideon is like relaxing and like her eyes are closed. Mm-hmm. She's not asleep, but she's very much like, oh, I need to just like wash away that adventure we were just on.
Yeah, you were in the woods for 5 days, and I don't think you ever took a bath.
Yeah.
I think maybe for the first time in your life, you didn't smell great.
It was rough, because didn't I also take a ride on a wet dog through a river?
You got rained on, you got mud all over yourself, then you got burnt to a crisp.
Got nice and crispy.
I guess it did keep raining. That's kind of like a shower.
It's not. Gideon disagrees with you heavily.
Well...
That little bit of relief is probably washing over Tonra too, because I would imagine hot water on all of the aches and stuff is probably soothing.
Yeah, you two look terrible. And I think now that you are face-to-face, you're welcome. Now that you are face-to-face, you can see your matching lightning strike scars. And I think they look different because Tonra was a bear at the time. So his has settled in differently than yours, Gideon. Yours is... sharp and white and runs over most of your body.
Neat.
After a few moments, Tonmir finally looks up, takes a deep breath with his brows furrowed and says, I think that we need to find a quiet place to talk. Is there anywhere that anybody knows of that might be more secluded?
Last time we were here, I spent a lot of time in this underground theater of sorts that is supposed to be a safe haven for any kind of talk, including you know, talk about the Capitol and just like, you know, and if we have, hey.
As Ira's doing
Gideon
this,
a cough drop?
Gideon literally from her relaxing state in the tub, just like opens one eye, like staring at Ira. Like, are you for real?
You guys didn't let me finish.
Yes, that's the point. Yes. I think I understand what it is that you're saying. And we should talk about things there soon. What I've heard It changes everything.
How long do you all think you relax there before following Ira?
I was going to say 20, 30 minutes.
Gideon could stay there all day. So,
I mean, you can. You can.
Tonra will lead the urgency then and help poke. Hey, hey, it's time to go.
Riva, are you sticking around?
No, I'm out. Peace.
You can.
Just kidding.
And then we split off for the next 30 minutes to periodically role play Riva at the bar.
You know what I'm imagining is that Riva would scoop up one of the chickens and then take it to the bar with her. And be like, we're going to have a great time.
One for me and one for my buddy here. A beer for me and some seeds for my friend.
If anyone's paying attention to Riva, you would have seen that she brightened up considerably after the queen had said how much we were all getting paid. She looks a lot more relaxed than she had been for the last few days.
What is that bloop noise?
It was is that roll 20.
Colness is just secretly rolling. Hey, hey, look at me. What kind of secret checks are you rolling?
Oh, that was a perception check to see if I noticed.
Was it really secret when it goes?
Yeah, while this whole conversation is taking place, she's relaxing, laying back on that rock and just tossing a dagger in the air, flipping it, catching it, that kind of thing. And she's going to tag along simply because it sounds like something interesting is going on, and she doesn't entirely understand what it is. But she did just spend the last 5 days with you guys and kind of just wants to find out what you all are talking about. She will tag along for now.
Okay. So after half an hour, everybody gets dressed again, presumably, and you follow Ira to a place that none of you have ever been. You follow Ira to the underground theater where he performed Last Interlude that was shown to him by Zira. You walk deeper into the capital through alleyways until you find a series of unmarked black doors. Ira leads you in, and the last door is locked. But the orc woman playing cards outside of it recognizes you, Ira, from your performances, and lets you in with a wink, saying she knows artists need to practice in the space they're performing in, and tells you she's looking forward to your next poem. She lets you in because of your feat, Friend in Every Town. And I will drop you in just a second. Bum, bum, bum.
Whoa.
Wow. Pretty.
Bloody.
Is that blood?
I want to say rose petals, but maybe it's blood. No, that looks blood.
There's a knife, so.
Torches sit unlit in sconces set into the wall, doing nothing for the darkness as you enter the sweeping theater. The empty hall, as clean as it is, has the musty smell of air that never sees the sun, because you are underground. Roughly 400 seats face the stage, separated into the lowest level, with seats packed closely together, a mezzanine composed of more comfortable-looking chairs and set on a low balcony, and in the very back, 30 feet in the air, several private boxes reserved for the greatest patrons. Ira, you recognize Zira's box. You've sat with him in it nearly a dozen times and enjoyed performances from the best possible vantage point. It was in that box that Zira gifted you the earring you wear now, a black feather from his own wing. Directly below the stage is the orchestra pit, books of music still open on their stands, and a large empty bottle of wine visible beneath one of the chairs. A huge stone mural inlaid with vaguely demonic faces looms over the large stage, decorating the frame in meticulous detail. And Ira, what you know to be red curtains at the edge of the stage look purple in the dark. Center stage is a scene left from the last performance. A prop sword lies forgotten amidst a smattering of paint, colored like blood. And the trail ends at a throne made of wood and decorated like stone. curving up into a rounded point and marked with a winding snake. A loose approximation of Saphira's throne, as if done by someone who had only heard a description of the real deal. So, what do you do?
As Tanner is walking into the theater, he's looking around in amazement. I think this might actually be the first time that Tanner has seen a proper theater like this. And as he's looking around, he calls over to Ira and says, "You've performed here?"
"I have, yes. Zira has directed me to this place and seems to know a lot of the performers here. And I've met quite a few of them and have gotten a few mentors to help with my performances. So, yeah, I would say, you know, last time we were in the capital, I spent a lot of time down here and honed my skills."
"Zira helped you?"
"Yes, I didn't want to say this above ground, but this is the only place I could think of within the capital that would have a space to talk about what we want to talk about, but I don't know just how safe it is, because Zira did show me this place, and Zira is very close to Saphira."
Tanner nods at that.
"There are many performances that happen down here that would not be able to happen above ground."
"Yeah, I think the way that the stage is set now hints at just one of those performances. Ira, you know that the history of Vire or Saphira herself is a common subject of plays down here, and they're usually not flattering. Where in this theater do you all settle down to talk?"
Since coming in, Riva's just sort of been taking in the space, walking like down the aisles between the seats while Ira and Tanya are having this conversation. And at some point, she wants to check out the props on the stage. So she, are there stairs?
There are narrow stairs either side of the stage.
Yeah, so she's wandered up there and is just sort of poking at the prop sword with her boot, checking out the blood.
Okay, the prop sword is made of wood, and it has fake blood smattered on the side of it.
What would provide, in this theater, the best vantage point? One of the boxes, I'm guessing.
One of the private boxes would have a pretty good view, yeah.
As Tanner is looking around, he looks at one of the boxes in question, points toward it, and says, "Perhaps we should talk up there."
"I've also spent a lot of time up there with Zira. I don't know, because it is much more his space, if it is the most private, or if we would be the only ears and eyes in that box."
And honestly, Tanner pointed at the boxes. He has no idea what their functions are. He he just thinks that it's additional seating. Upon hearing that, Tanner will look at the boxes, squint his eyes a little bit, but then nod. And then he'll say, "What if we go down there?" And he points toward the orchestra pit. "I can have Ruthwein sit up there in case anybody else comes in."
Gideon, you trailing along?
Mostly just contemplating acoustics, because I feel like the stage and the orchestra pit wouldn't be ideal.
Because they're designed to carry sound.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in an empty theater, sound is going to carry anywhere.
Can we go backstage?
Yeah, you could.
Backstage wouldn't be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you all cross the stage and pass this prop throne smattered with blood and head behind the back curtains, and sure enough, you find the backstage area, and it's quiet back here, but it's also very dark.
That's fine, I got dark vision.
It's quiet and dark and a little eerie because there are outfits and costume pieces on the wall and prop swords scattered across the floor, and I think there's some puppets dangling from a corner of the wall.
Nope.
Why would you say that?
Listen, you wanted to go in the back. I don't know what to say. There's also a table, like a break room style table.
I think because of how much is on his mind, that's probably where Tanner is going to go and sit and just wait for other people to get settled into their spots.
I think Gideon stands nearby where Tanru is.
I roll a sit down.
Yeah, Reva joins them at the table.
Tanru looks around and says, "You're sure it's safer down here?"
"No, I just said I'm not sure."
"Well, not safe, safer."
"Safer, yes. There, people definitely talk about things down here that they cannot talk about up above. But I don't know how much of that is actually safe in the sense that it doesn't get back to the throne room. I cannot guarantee anything."
What Tomer will do is hold his fingers up toward his face on either side of it, and he's going to roll his fingers downward in the air, and he is going to say, "Shurinua," and he's going to cast Detect Magic.
Some of the props glow. You get the impression that some of the props have magic cast on them. There are outfits hung along the wall that look like gorgeous sweeping gowns or beautiful rogue armor, but when you cast Detect Magic, you can actually tell that it's an illusion spell, and they're all just black clothes. There are prop swords that look real, but that's illusion magic as well. Most of what you see in the back room is illusion magic cast on clothing and props to make them look exceptional. But it is fading from the last performance, and you can see through the cracks of the illusion.
Okay.
In terms of, like, surveillance, you don't detect any spells. You don't see anything designed to listen to you. And you also get the impression that, like, other people have checked for this, too. This is the theater specifically designed to shit-talk the queen. You are one of many people to cast Detect Magic in here, and all you find is illusion magic and an amplification spell on the stage and also in the pit.
Oh, good thing we didn't talk there.
"Hello! So here's what I heard."
It's a very good impression. Tanru takes a breath and exhales, and he looks up, and as he meets everybody's gaze, it is probably one of the more concerned expressions that you've seen on his face to date. "The queen commanded me to think what I wanted to ask, and I thought of the curses, the vampires, the werewolves, bringing them back here, and to figure out what the purpose of it was. And she whispered very quietly that she's building an army.
Gideon, she's standing kind of near Tonmere, near the table. Didn't want to sit down, but she's standing with her arms crossed and her face just kind of looks like she's thinking a lot on this, and it's definitely not surprising to her, this information that he's conveyed.
Did she say for what?
Tanra simply shakes his head.
Gideon kind of, like, it seems like a frustration outburst, and she's like, "For what else? She wants to conquer more lands."
Tanra looks contemplative at that. "But why conquer something that you've already conquered? With what forces she's had at her disposal, she's raised my forest, she's conquered your kingdom with what she had. Why would she need to do it again?"
"There is a large part of the world unconquered.
Vire has not touched my place. My village still stands and is not within the rule of the capital of Vire or Queen Saphira. I think there are many lands that haven't felt the presence of Vire."
"Even so, she's been successful with what she's had. I don't know. To build an army now after already having started conquest seems... I don't know how to describe it."
"I mean, What else have armies been used for?
I don't know. I lived in a forest. I don't know much about armies or the workings of kingdoms. For all that we've done, I'm still so simple at all of this.
Riva's looking thoughtful. There's a lot of history that she's missed, including the expansion of Vire. And she looks between Tanrir and Gideon, specifically, and says, so Vire conquered your homes, right? When did that happen?
I will now tell you when that happened, but it'll sound like it's coming from Dre's voice.
Wow, what an amazing illusion spell.
Let me double check. Silver Scale fell 91 years ago. And Tanrir, your village of Rulthuin fell 22 years ago. Gideon, you were 35 when Silver Scale fell. You are 126 now.
It's been 90 years since Silver Scale fell.
And as for my home, it was about 20 years ago.
And as he says that, he almost looks like he doesn't believe how long it's been when he does say that.
Gideon just kind of looks pensive with renewed anger.
And Ira, is your home near here or far?
How long did it take me to get here from my village?
Weeks.
Okay.
Your home is on an island south of the mainland, south of Vire.
When I left, I wasn't in the greatest shape, and I left quickly with a band of traders. But we spent weeks on a ship and then in a cart traveling north to get here.
What are you thinking, Riva?
Well, maybe, and I'm just taking a stab in the dark here, but maybe Vire grabbed whatever land they could that was convenient. But if they want to go further, they need a bigger army.
When that's said, Tonrer looks a little bit more disconcerted and looks back up at the group.
And we are helping that.
I can't in good conscience do this. If anything, this has renewed my own personal goals a hundredfold. I need to get back to my village, and I need the thing that will allow me to go back. Because without it, my village doesn't stand a chance.
What thing?
So the reason I'm here and not back at my village where I should be is that I allowed the most sacred item in my village, in my pride. It's called the Essence of Malos. It's an artifact that has been around since the beginning of our pride, and it's the thing that connects all of us to each other. It imbues us all with a strong connection to our instrument. We're all musicians in my pride, and it's our thing. I mean, it's what makes us who we are. And the Essence of Malos, for all of us as children, we go through a ritual that gives us unique ties to our instrument, and I'm the reason that that is gone. And my goal is to get it back. Somebody who I loved deeply betrayed me and manipulated me, and I helped them. I helped them take the Essence of Malos from my village. And I have to get it back. We need it. Each kit that grows up in our village now doesn't have that connection with their instrument, and our power has greatly diminished because of what I've done.
Oof.
Oof. That's an oof from Reva.
And Ira, I think you, normally I think your hang drum, the weight of it at your hip makes you happy. But I think you feel it now against your hip and it feels heavy because you have that special bond to your instrument. You have that thing, that hallmark of your pride, that gift that you were given by the essence of Melos. You have that connection with your instrument and you know that everyone born after your mistake will never have that.
For the first time, I think Tonmir is looking upon Ira with a little bit more compassion and sympathy, having understood now what is driving him. How close is Ira sitting to Tonmir?
Approximately hug distance.
How convenient.
How convenient.
Gideon is standing up. Where is Reva?
At the table also.
Okay.
It's a small circular table.
Ira's probably sitting like adjacent to Tonmir.
Tonmir is going to reach over and across to the opposite shoulder of Ira to like give a bit of a side hug and squeeze. And he says, "From what I've known of you, you are not deserving of the treachery that was beset upon you. If and when I can, I will help."
Ira puts his head down a little bit and looks at Tonmir and says, "Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I think I could really use the help."
"I think we all can." After that, Tonmir starts drifting in his thoughts once more. "So expanding the borders," he looks back at Reva. "Was that all you were thinking of?"
Reva gives kind of a shrug at Tonmir and says, "To be honest, I don't know. I just got here."
I think Reva's on to something. After what I heard around the campfire in Sosalia, and then what Queen Saphira has let be known, I think we're helping her build an army to conquer more land, including my village.
And I take it you three didn't willingly take on this job.
We're not doing this for fun. Or really, money is part of it, but we
not
don't
for
have
fun, but yes, for profit.
But we don't have a choice.
Step one, get kidnapped. Step two, collect curses and help the Queen of Vire build an army. Step three, profit.
Gideon did not need the profit.
That's true.
I have so many questions, like, what is Vesper's role in this? What is he actually researching? What is he doing to Farah? What is he doing to Iris? Are they going to be safe?
Why does Danny like the Queen so much?
I don't know if Danny likes the Queen. I think Danny is loyal to the Queen.
No. Do you remember when the assassin tried to kill the Queen?
Danny was very concerned about the Queen's safety. Ira also is remembering what he felt when he saw that memory of Queen Saphira's. And he says, how much of this is actually Queen Saphira's will? I felt what she felt when that crown was put on her head. I didn't feel a villain or a coldness or a evilness. I think Queen Saphira has humanity. And I don't know if she's the one pulling all the strings or if she is a string being pulled.
Gideon doesn't have anything to say, but when you say that Queen Saphira has humanity, she kind of scoffs.
So Saphira has been ruling for 15 years?
15 years.
So she was not the one who but I don't know how much Ira would know this. I think
using the numbers in the timeline, you could put it together based on who ruled when. Silverscale was conquered when Aurelia was queen, and Rolthuin was conquered when Callista was queen. So Saphira's mother and grandmother.
Okay. So Ira will say, I mean, think about it. Saphira hasn't been ruling for that long. And Tanrir, you say that your forest was overtaken over 20 years ago, and Gideon, it's been almost a century.
Gideon turns and looks at Ira at this point and says, it doesn't matter if she wasn't the one to take these actions or do these things. She is part of the family that has done these actions, that has destroyed these communities. And she continues to do so, or continues to try.
Tanrir looks up at that. Who else has she conquered? I don't know that there's actually been anything that Tanrir has seen to lend credence to Saphira having actually taken over anything.
So, Vire is subject to a massive amount of revisionist history. I mean, it is very, very difficult to get honest information. But I think, Gideon, you would know, being in Silverscale, being closer to what was the edge of Vire, and also being as old as you are, I think you would know that the Viren border has been creeping north of your home. I think you would know that it has been moving, even recently. And the change is subtle and it's slow. It's not always the crashing of empires, but it has changed even in the last 15 years.
Gideon, at this point, I pictured she was kind of like crossing her arms, leaning against something, and she like stands up and uncrosses her arms and starts like, she's angry. She's speaking from anger. And she says, what has she conquered? Empires do not stay empires by giving back places that they have conquered. Queen Saphira remains a queen through intimidation and fear, and that is not how a true leader should rule. The Viren border continues to expand and grow. Even if it is not a noticeable grand gesture of destruction to overtake and conquer, there are still villages that are north of my home in Silverscale that have had their independence stripped from them and replaced with the colors of Vire. Churches have burned, even within the last decade, and Vire's border has been steadily creeping north. I've heard my mother and her partner discuss it. No one wants to acknowledge it. No one will speak of it. But it is happening even now.
How much does Ira know about, like, Gideon's family?
I don't think that Gideon has disclosed anything. So it would be a matter of if you had done any research.
Or heard it through song.
Ira could roll, like, a history check on the Greyfrosts. Yeah.
You could see if you have heard it before.
Okay.
Or read it before somewhere.
And because you are a bard, you can roll literally any kind of knowledge check because you hear information everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm doing knowledge history.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a 14.
Okay. So with a 14, though the Greyfrost line is old and powerful and once well known, in Vire, the proper memory of it has been squashed. And I think since your pride is south of Vire and you're young, I think the name Greyfrost means nothing to you.
I think Ira is going to say, I know from personal experience that although my decisions have created disaster within my own village, it was due to my weaknesses and not some underlying agenda. I was a pawn in the demise of my own people. What if Queen Saphira is experiencing something similar? Queen Saphira made it a point that only you, Tanrir, could hear her ultimate goal. Not Zira, not Talgron. We saw with our own eyes that someone who has the ability to get inside the throne room has it out for the queen. That person can't be working alone. They have to have connections in the throne room to even get that close. I'm just saying, expanding the nation of Vire may not be on the top of her list. She's dying. And I suspect it's from the crown.
Everybody give me a perception check.
Oof.
Ugh. Sucks.
That's a 21.
Riva, you hear footsteps.
Riva, like, sits up straight. She sits up straight and draws a dagger.
Would Rothwain have alerted to anything?
Yeah. I think as you hear footsteps, you also hear Rothwain cry.
So we hear, well, at least Tanrir hears Rothwain cry, and then suddenly Riva is sitting up with daggers out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She shushes Ira, like, mid-speech. She's like, shh. You hear that? Someone's coming.
Do you all stay still?
Yes.
Tanrir is going to stealth to a darker corner of the room.
Gideon is standing up defiantly, ready to face. So, like, she's still mad. So, she's just ready to shoot a bitch.
Always ready.
I think Ira is, this is his domain. He's been here before. This is a very comfortable space for him, and he kind of knows a little bit about how things operate. So he is going to quickly kind of like bring out a pencil and pad and start like writing poetry.
Oh, acting casual.
I was just rehearsing.
Nice.
Ye old, I'm just putting on a play move.
That's awesome.
Okay. You see the curtain that separates the backstage area from the stage itself move and shift, and then a muscular hooded figure pushes through.
Ira just looks up from his writing, like, curious to see who it is.
Yeah, do we recognize this individual?
She takes her hood down, and Gideon, you do. You see a familiar, warm, scarred warrior's face. It's Amara.
Gideon's stance immediately relaxes, but she crosses her arms again, and she goes, Amara, what are you doing here?
You're back in town, but didn't come find me. Something's wrong. So I tailed you.
Who is this Gideon?
Oh, yeah, everybody's fuck?
I think Ira, seeing that Gideon is, like, familiar with this person and not automatically fighting them, is going to be like, hi, who are you? I'm Ira.
Does anybody recognize the fact that Gideon says Amara, and that's the name that she used in...
I don't think Ira makes that connection immediately.
Okay. There's a lot going on. That's totally fine.
It's been a while. There's been a lot that has happened between then and now.
It's the name that you gave Oberon when you were trying to be brave.
Well, Reva wasn't even there, so if anyone, it would be Tanrir.
Would Tanrir pull that from the depths of his brain?
He's going to stick near the wall just for the moment, just to make sure that, I don't know, Amara wasn't tailed.
You introduce yourself as Ira, right?
Yes.
Amara holds out a hand, a calloused hand. Do you take it?
Yeah.
I'm Gideon's sister. General Amara of the Greyfrosts.
Oh, fuck.
Kariba's like, she called reinforcements.
Oh, no, there's two of them now.
Hey, this is Dre Silvertooth, and thank you for listening to episode 48 of Bad Heroes, part 2 of our second Vire interlude, which now has a name, The Scattered Pawns. Why is it called that? Stick around and you'll find out. Thank you for your patience waiting for this episode to drop. In the middle of moving, Rev, Leanne, and I all got hella COVID, and in a completely different state, Kaz somehow got it at the exact same time. So all four of us failed our constitution saving throws. Thank you for your patience as we recovered. I want to give a big thank you and welcome to our newest patron, Martha. We are really happy to have you and appreciate the hell out of your support. Thank you. If you also want to support the Bards, you can find us at patreon.com/badheroes. Starting at $2 a month, you can unlock all kinds of goodies, like bloopers, Q&As, bonus interviews with the cast, and with moi. Patrons also get access to our Discord, where we host monthly game nights, if you're into that sort of thing, all while supporting a story you love. Check it out at patreon.com/badheroes. Come find us on social media. We are at Bad Heroes Cast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We can also be emailed at badheroescast@gmail.com. I want to slide a quick reminder in here that you can find content warnings for this and all newer episodes at badheroescast.com/content warnings. Music in this episode is Home Road by Kai Engel, and Temple of the Manes, Darkest Child, and Unholy Night by Kevin MacLeod. Our theme is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane. Thank you to our sponsors at Roll20. You can set up your own virtual tabletop and play games with your friends anywhere at roll20.net. That's all for now. Hoping to get the next episode out to you on September 9th. Enjoy the rest of the episode. See you soon.
And Amara hears the word Ira and says, Ira, there's an Iria in Gideon's journal. Is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Well, are you sure I wouldn't have just referred to her as them as the cat?
That's true.
That's true. Okay, instead, Amara says, you must be the purple cat from Gideon's journal.
Ira looks down at his purple fur and is like, yeah, that's probably me. I'm sure she did not put my name in there at all or anything.
Tanra, give me a stealth roll.
I haven't met any other purple cats.
It's in the chat. It's a 19.
Okay. And Amara crosses her arms and looks directly at the shadows that contain you, Tanra, and says, and you must be the druid.
He stays still. No.
he's fucking doing Kronk like.
He's slowly eating a thing. Like Drax.
Like Drax. You cannot perceive me.
Gideon, Amara is dressed down. No longer in her general's garb as if she's trying to blend in.
Gideon is like, the best word for it would be pouting. Like her arms are crossed. She's just like pissed off that her sister has shown up here. She doesn't like others getting to know like personal details about her. So this introduction to this ragtag group of misfits is like,
is it deeply embarrassing?
Gideon just like, oh my fucking God.
You, Gideon, even when she's dressed down and all of you, like you can see, this woman is trying to blend in. This is not a woman who can blend in. She has such a huge presence about her. The familial ties are strong. Similar to how Gideon has this constant just royalty to her that you cannot turn down. Neither can Amara. And Gideon, even with her, what might be considered a disguise, like a common person, you can still see a silver breastplate peeking out from beneath the collar of her blouse, etched with a pattern of silver scales. And there's still a sword on her belt.
Gideon gestures to all of her and just goes, this is your, you tailed me and this is your idea of a disguise?
I'm wearing a shirt and pants.
She's not wrong there.
What did I do?
This is such sibling energy. I love it.
You're literally wearing a silver cape made out of the scales of our ancestors. Don't talk to me about disguises.
And Gideon just says, but people know that I'm here. I belong here. How do you know you weren't followed looking suspicious like you do?
I am a seasoned warrior. You all are in the middle of this fight. And Amara suddenly like pauses the fight to turn and look at Reva.
Ooh. Oh, God.
And she folds her arms and this massive woman looks down at you. And you are...
Reva puts away her dagger and looks at Amara a little intimidated and is like, oh, I'm Reva. Nobody important. Mm-hmm.
She's the one that came out of the mirror.
I don't think Amara has heard about this because your journal only goes right up to, and actually you can see the journal you wrote during your time in Oberon's castle poking out of Amara's bag. And you get the impression she's actually been carrying it around in your absence. But you actually haven't seen her, nor have you handed her the journal that you've been writing in since you got Reva. So Reva has just introduced herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Amara claps her hands together and says, so, what are we doing?
Writing poetry.
What are you doing?
I'm tailing you. I was very clear about that.
She saw Tonrir sitting back there, but probably didn't see the extent of all of the new scarring and stuff that is on his body. So at this point, he's going to step forward and looks to Amara and then looks to Gideon and says to Gideon, wow, you weren't kidding. You do have family.
Shots
Gideon,
fired.
Gideon glares at Tonrir.
And then Amara, I'm also assuming, is at least half elf, if not completely elven.
Full elf.
They're all elves, I think.
They look very similar. It just looks like
she got muscles.
Amara is the Gideon's buff older sister, basically.
Tonrir looks at Amara and says, rivers guide you in elvish.
Amara smiles and nods at you and then takes in the scars on your body and takes in the werewolf bite and raises an eyebrow and then turns and looks at Gideon and goes in to give you a hug, Gideon, and pauses in the middle to touch her fingers to your neck and say, Gideon. These scars.
Is that the Lichtenberg thing stretching upwards?
The lightning strike scars from your tangle with Lena.
Gideon, still pissed off in a sibling way, just like swats Amara's hand away.
So, what we are doing, and he gestures between everybody except Amara, who just came in. Well, he turns to Gideon and says, how well can Amara be trusted?
And Gideon rubs her temples and just goes, shit. We're not going to be able to get rid of her. She's on our side. I trust her fully. She knows most of the situation.
Amara claps you on the back and it's like a little too hard.
And a little bit of cold fog comes out of Gideon.
Just like poof.
If you can say it in front of my sister, you can say it in front of me.
I would like to roll perception to see if he notices the journal that she's carrying around. 26.
Okay, yeah. I think you saw Gideon carry this journal around the entire time you were in Oberon's castle. So yeah. You recognize it on sight.
That is actually what makes Tonrir trust Amara.
Because she already knows everything.
Because Gideon gave the journal.
And trusts her with the journal, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he sees that, like he leans over a little bit and notices it and then looks back at Amara and says, well, in short, we're hunting curses for the queen so that she can build an army.
So, when is the rebellion?
The what now?
Blunt, if anything.
I think Iris says, I was just bringing up a alternate theory that maybe Queen Zephira is the rebellion.
Yes, Ira believes that Queen Saphira still has humanity.
So sassy.
Where's your home? Ira, where is your home? Where do you live?
I forgot the name of my island.
me and my home?
Me and my home?
The home where I came from, the home where I usually reside.
The one that I live in that I know, and that's...
Goose Coast home?
Did we name it? I don't know.
I don't know if we did. Where's my island?
It's out there. It's south of the coast. It's the island that is the closest.
It is called South Island.
My island is the island that is south, the southest closest island to this island.
You think of islands that are south of here but close by, it's there.
And also, if you think of islands full of cats, if you get on a ship and you go south of Ira and you hear just a cacophony of music and meowing, that's mine. That's the one that I live in.
Island of cats.
Cat island.
Amara plops down at the table, just invites herself to that table and sits down and says, "Then you must realize it's only a matter of time. Vyra is expanding its borders. Hell is expanding its borders, and taking your little island is just a line on the to-do list."
I understand that. I am just suggesting that maybe Queen Saphira is a pawn, but I don't know. It was a mere suggestion.
When Tanrir casted the detect magic on Saphira, was he able to discern whether it was an external, like way from outside influence that was impacting her?
You cast detect
or disease rather. Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as I can tell, what that will tell you is if it's like a known disease, and it's not.
Yeah.
And also what the effects are. And you know those things. But you can't discern where it's coming from.
Tanrir holds up a finger in thought for a moment. And then he looks to everybody and says, "Did anybody else see what happened when Talgrun left the throne room?"
Not particularly.
She got weaker. It was when Talgrun was supposed to deliver the letters. After he left the throne room, she got weaker. And I wonder if perhaps those advisors are sustaining her in some way instead of hindering her. There is so much that we do not see. A rebellion? As much as my rage and my blood for what has happened would be at least partially sated for that, I don't know if this is the time for it. And given that we only have a few weeks before we must head back out, we certainly don't have the time to plan for one. And Tanrir looks a little bit defeated, and his shoulders sink a little bit. I don't know what to do.
I don't think we have any chance of success if we abandon our mission now. But I think we have a chance if we play along until we get to our next destination. We were able to help that other person who was with us, that I can't remember their name.
What?
Wingatha?
Sorry, what?
With the swords?
Wingatha?
Yes. We were able to help Wingatha escape. And as far as we know, she's still okay. But I don't think we can do that unless we go to the next place. We have a better shot of getting a head start.
The time to act is now. We're not going to get another chance. We need to have our plan in place. When we go off on this next mission that she's going to send us for, once we return, she's going to have the third curse.
The way it looks, I mean, Ira, your theory's interesting. Us coming back with that third curse is either going to make everything a lot worse or a lot better, and kind of seems like a flip of the coin. Hell of a gamble.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is we don't come back.
If that wasn't clear.
yo, Queen Saphira, I'm a dip.
It's been real.
We have to come back, because if it's not us that fulfills it, it'll be somebody else.
But how many people before us have tried and failed?
We've succeeded.
That at least gives us time.
Are you suggesting running away? And I think Amara turns her gaze on you, and you feel it like a weight as this general stares you down.
I'm suggesting getting away from underfoot of Queen Saphira, yes. How can we do anything if we are constantly in her gaze?
There have to be moves we can make now. There has to be something we can do to get our pieces in place, so to speak. I have an army. Small, but dedicated. The best. They'd die for Silverscale. To protect it. To bring it back to what it was. And so would I. But I'm not risking their lives without a good plan. Vire is a beast yet to be bested, but if I'm understanding this correctly, we only get one shot. No matter what Saphira is doing, something is happening, and it's not good. We have 2 weeks with you in the capital. 2 weeks of access to Saphira and those that work with her before you leave. And let's say you leave and you manage to get away. To Tonra's point, someone else will do it. And if you leave and you manage to get away and someone else doesn't do it, you'll what? Stage a rebellion, fix the problem from outside the capital? We're here. We are in the best possible place to do it now. You've all been in her throne room. Do you know how hard it is to get in there? Do you know how impossible? Do you know how many people have stepped foot in that room? No one. But you all will again before you leave. You have access to her handmaid. You have access to her alchemist. You are so close to what is happening, and you want to throw it away and run?
Well, I mean, I didn't know you had a whole army. I mean, that changes things. Come on now.
Was like, oh, whoa, new information.
I just take that back.
You got to understand, I'm just a lonely bard. All I've got is my drum and no hit points.
Actually, and Amara leans in conspiratorially, actually, I heard you have a boyfriend.
I do have a boyfriend.
And she taps the journal.
I mean, we're not official. We haven't posted the scrolls anywhere.
You gonna go see him? Wait, we're getting distracted.
Gideon rolls her eyes at this because Amara is definitely more of a romantic. Hmm.
Tonrair looks up and says, there are two thoughts in mind. Maybe I could go back to what is now Ashtar Wood and see what has transpired there since. Maybe I'd be able to find a clue of what to do, where to go, how to coordinate. And he almost looks disgusted by what he's about to say. And then he looks at them all and says, if we're gathering the components for the army, what if we are able to control it?
That'd be cool. Can we make Farrah a general? I don't want her going into battle. But she's smart. I did play chess with her.
Oh my
god. I think she
Amara would definitely be going into battle even though she's a general.
Gideon, you know that every fight they get in, Amara is at the head of the fight.
She just can't help herself.
Ooh.
Riva's been sitting back in her seat and just sort of watching and listening to all this talk of rebellion and planning. And finally, she throws up her hands and says, "Look, everyone, I'm sorry about what happened to your homes. I really am. But this is just not a fight I can get in the middle of. You all seem like nice people." And for a moment, Riva almost looks devastated. And then her expression shifts to one of anger. "And in my experience, nice people who devote themselves to causes, they die. They die and they don't come back." And she stands up, like, really abruptly, like her chair scraping against the floor. "I'm not doing that. I can't. I'm sorry." And she moves to start walking away.
Amara stands up and puts her hand on her sword. "You coward." Everybody give me a perception check.
God, it's always on the important ones that I'm not getting the good perception going on.
22 for me.
18 for me.
27.
Natural one.
Sorry, did you say you rolled a natural one, Riva?
Sure fucking did.
It's because she turned around and was
blinded with rage.
Probably saw Amara put a hand on the sword and go, "You coward."
Yeah, the fucking general of the Grey Frost army just threatened me
with
her sword.
The fucking descendants of dragons and the general of a fucking army. Yeah, I mean, seems good. Seems good. Keep talking.
Wait, why did we roll perception?
Well, we can't know that, can we?
Seems good, man.
Wow, even with a 27?
Seems good.
Okay.
Tonrir is, his hand is wandering back toward his bow because he sees Amara's hand at her sword.
Not everyone can be a fighter, Amara. Some of us have other skills, and some of us have other experiences that make fighting really hard. But I admire your chutzpah.
I don't expect everyone to stand on the front line, but you understand that she just sat here and heard us talking about rebellion, and she's saying she's too scared to stand up to the throne, and you think just letting her walk out of here is going to end well for the four of us?
For your information, I didn't say I was scared. I'm just not doing this.
Ah, I'm sure out of courage.
Riva looks really pissed off.
Gideon just, she's not saying anything, but her eyes are on Amara. She knows that Amara's not going to drop this, and she knows that Amara is passionate.
Gideon, you feel something against your ankle.
It's the snake. Gideon looks down.
You see Tassir.
Oh, God. What the hell?
Yeah, what the?
And this yellow and orange snake that you are so familiar with is moving along the floor and slides past your ankle to move where he can see everyone. And I think a moment passes in silence while he raises up his head and opens his mouth. And you hear, "Hi. You four, oh, excuse me, five, who the fuck are you? You four are being suspicious." Stop.
What does Amara say to that?
Talking snake.
Amara just watched a voice come out of a snake and just like draws her sword and points it at the snake.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, Gideon reaches out and like to like put a hand on Amara's. And just shakes her head.
Amara lowers her sword.
The snake on the table now, maybe?
I think it's on the floor.
Tonra is going to walk over to the snake and see about picking it up.
Tassir coils up your arm.
And Tonrir looks at Tassier, and it looks like he's just got a wild idea on his face.
I am concerned. I am experiencing concern. Hey, look at my face. Yeah.
Concern.
Tonrir looks to the snake, looks to Tassier, and says, "Would there be anything that you would like for us to do during these few weeks before our next assignment?"
I'm going to give you until the count of 10 to get the hell out of here. 10.
Tonner wild shapes into a noun, flies out by.
Dropping the snake.
Yep, at will.
Okay.
Any animal I'm familiar with, and Tonrir is very familiar with owls, is going to fly the fuck out of there.
Just gone. Wow.
Okay, Tonrir and presumably Rulthuin flit out of the theater, and you hear 9. And the rest of you hear a strange cracking sound from above the stage.
Gideon loops her arm into Amara's to pull her along towards the exit.
Reva takes a step backwards and is just gone. Through a dimensional crack.
Dimensional yeet.
Well, I guess Ira's gonna start walking out.
Walking?
Walking casually. Speed walking.
Sprinting.
You hear the snake behind you. 8, 7, 6. And as you all come out from behind the stage and start crossing the stage to head back towards the exit, you see those demonic faces etched into the stone mural above the stage starting to animate.
Oh, great.
Oh, shit.
I knew it. I knew this wasn't safe.
Their jaws moving and their eyes wide and fixed on you as they begin to claw their way out of the wall. 5, 4...
Reva had reappeared 10 feet ahead and is sprinting towards the exit.
I think on the stage, crumbling stone raining down, Amara turns to face those hidden gargoyles that have animated and are breaking free and are flexing their wings and claws, and Amara has drawn her sword.
Gonna fight gargoyles.
And Gideon just like tugs on Amara and goes, "Just drop, come on, let's go."
And as the final numbers of the countdown fade, as it is buried by the sounds of gargoyles prying themselves out of the wall, you run. You all run, and Amara runs with you. And eventually, after pushing your way through several doors, you burst out into the sunlight and find yourself in an alley where you can quickly join a crowd. Do you all disappear?
Yes.
Flap, 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 flap.
Reva's gone.
Do you scatter or stay together?
Probably scatter, I can only assume, because Reva dimensional yeeted and
Tonrir
flew away. And so Gideon and Amara are probably kind of making their way back towards where they're staying.
Okay.
Yeah. Ira has no particular interest in staying near Amara, so he's going to go on his own way.
She's scary.
So yeah, everybody splits off. That went well, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. No.
Totally. Super well.
Depends on who you are, I guess.